Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
GR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Mineo and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning and welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri. The gang's all here. Francis Beck, Tom Prince from WNY Athletics, Roger Weiss in studio, Derek Kramer producing. Let me see. Is the rain still coming down, guys?
It is.
Yeah, it is. That's going to put a damper on any afternoon games that might be scheduled today. Just when you thought you were clear of makeups and...
It was a good run.
Yeah, it has been a nice stretch here to get makeups in. I'll tell you that, at least.
It was a good run, fellas.
Yeah, we did.
We had, what, 4 days of good weather?
Something like that, yeah. It might be in the record books. So, if you had plans this afternoon, it's not looking good.
Is it going to be here all afternoon?
I don't think so.
Well, no, the only reason I'm asking is the 18 and under Aunt Rosie's tournament is going on right down the street. And, they played 40 games yesterday. They got to play 40 more today. Pool play over six or seven diamonds, depending on how long it rains. And right now it's coming down fairly. They're not playing right now at the moment, I can guarantee you, just looking out the window. But, they may have to, instead of each team playing five games in pool, they might have to reduce down to four, because all 32 teams qualify for the tomorrow's playoffs. You know, top seed in 2 days will play the 32nd seed, second place 31, and so on. It's basically a five-round final.
Well, as you have on most weekends, there's a lot of tournament. A lot of travel teams have tournaments, softball and baseball. You know, we all like to get those games in, so hopefully it does dry up later on and they are able to play. Hopefully you guys had a great 4th of July. Raj, I disappointed you, though.
Why? What'd you do?
Well, I...
You only had 13 hot dogs?
No, I fell short of Joey Chestnut's 71 that he did at the Nathan's.
What'd you do, drop out at 63?
No, I only had three. Sorry.
He only beat you by 68?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be close. You know, it was nip and tuck there for a while, but, you know, he kind of pulled away and a 68 more than I did. I actually watched it. For some reason, Nick wanted to watch it. It's okay, we'll watch it. It was disgusting.
It really is. And he was three away from the world record of 74.
Yeah.
Which is his record, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even the women eating, 31? I'm like, come on. How do you guys do this?
He has a couple world records, too. It's not just the hot
Anthony,
dog one.
I mean, can you eat one hot dog in 8.5 seconds?
No.
Not one in 8.5 seconds?
I don't think so. I can't chew that fast.
He averages 8.5 seconds for hot dog for 71 hot dogs.
And the other thing is, I can't dip the bun in water. I mean, that's about as gross as you can get. You know, I'll stick to dunking, you know, chocolate chip cookies and milk. That's about as close as I'm going to come to that.
I mean, if it was a slice of Wonder Bread, maybe.
No.
But,
no.
Even that doesn't sound too tempting.
And I'm not a big beef hot dog fan. I prefer pork hot dogs. So, oh, well. We gave it an effort. I had
my usual July 4th traditional. Went to Denny's for breakfast. Diana and her girlfriend went down to watch the boats. Then, as I usually do on July 4th, I watch the Capitol 4th. I watch the Macy's fireworks. And then on the VCR, I taped and then watched Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Very good.
That's tradition for me on July 4th.
I sat in my yard, and I swear to God, the people in my neighborhood had more fireworks than any display around. Oh, my God. I thought I was in a war zone. It was amazing the amount of... I thought that stuff's illegal.
No, it's not. They're selling them in every street corner
yeah,
now.
Yeah, fireworks, right? Not anything that explodes.
Not explode, but I mean it's...
yeah, you things that pop up in the air and do color. Yeah. Yeah, they have that. But I'm talking fireworks. I don't think I heard any M80s, but a lot of firecrackers, bottle rockets. Like every second, you could hear the whistling of a bottle rocket.
It wasn't too bad in our neighborhood, at least not as bad as it usually is. You know, we turned the volume up on the TV because the dogs normally would freak out once that thing starts, especially our middle guy. But it wasn't too bad this year, not as bad as previous years.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like I said, I sat back there and enjoyed it. I think one of the kids that I coach in football, his house was, as they say, lit. They were. I have to talk to his mom and see what's up with that, if they had all those fireworks or not. You know, it was cool, Tom. I told you this before the show. Nicky stole his first base in baseball.
Love it. Absolutely.
A legitimate steal. Dad, I never did that before. I'm like, great, Nick. That was awesome. And then in the next game, he takes a fast pitch to the elbow where I heard the ball hit the bone. Oh, no, here we go. You know, you're thinking hospital trip, you're thinking broken bone. Nah, he shook it off. He was fine. So good job, Nicky.
Just tell me to steal another base.
Yeah, he's...
He took one for the team, huh?
Yeah, he did. First of all, I couldn't believe they sent him to steal. Like, what are you guys, crazy?
No.
Again, well, it was probably a hit and run, and the guy missed the pitch. Come on, Anthony.
All right, guys, let's get into news and notes on this so-called summery morning. Francis, why don't you lead off there, pal?
All right, we got two big transfers in the boys' basketball world earlier this week.
Oh, you mean high school free agency has started.
That's the way to put it. Roddy Gale is taking his talents from Louport to Monsignor Bonner High School in Pennsylvania. And then Jalen Bradbury, who was a starting shooting guard at Niagara Falls, will be going over to Park to take over for Noah Hutchins at what is looking to be the point guard spot for the Monsignor Martin Champions.
And this is his fourth school, by the way.
In
4 years. So he started out Niagara Wheatfield, then Niagara Catholic. Okay, and you can't blame him for leading Niagara Catholic because they disbanded, went to Niagara Falls, and now off to Park.
And the other part is, my understanding is he went to Niagara Catholic from, I think, kindergarten to seventh, so he went to Wheatfield to get that varsity playing in. So that the plan was always to go back to Niagara Catholic and, I think, finish there.
That's some traveling. I don't know if I care for that. Like I said, and I'm only joking, a high school free agency. A lot of people treat it that way.
Yeah, but on that move, that's common practice. You know, how many, and who knows more so than Tom, you know, kids that would be playing in a grammar school in the Orchard Park School District, then come ninth grade and they have to go to a Catholic school. So that part is, that happened. That's commonplace.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yes.
And that part, the Niagara Catholic closing, then he has to pick a school. He went to Niagara Falls. Why he didn't go right to Park, or maybe with Noah there, he wouldn't have got the playing time that he got at Niagara Wheatfield. We could speculate now till the cows come home.
Yeah, that's their business. As I said, I'm not a huge fan, and it could be legitimate. I'm not criticizing that at all. But what I'm saying is there's no continuity, and you're constantly moving around. I don't think that does you very much good. And from what I understand from college coaches, they don't particularly care for players who move around a lot.
Well, I think the big thing, and I mentioned it before we came on the air, is he's guaranteed, or not guaranteed, but he has the opportunity to play 8 more varsity games in 2 years at Park than he would at Niagara Falls.
Right.
Do you want some stability, Tony? I think you want some stability. Frank broke this earlier this week. Allegheny Limestone hired a new coach, Tom Callen, filling right now all Section 6 jobs in football are filled.
Right. All right. Gotta fill them.
That's great for the stability on the football side. I do not like the stability on the baseball side. What I saw happen this week to me is one of the travesties I've seen in baseball coaching right now. To see a legend step down the way he did.
Forced out.
It just is unbelievable. Really.
And we're
talking
about Marv Madison being forced out of Iroquois. It shocked me. It's a shock, I think, would be an understatement. Blew my mind away. I watched Iroquois play this year. Beautifully run program. Great team. Great effort by the kids. They all played very well.
They won a sectional championship.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You won a sectional championship, all right? I get it, okay? I understand that stuff happens during the season. We all know that. We know that as coaches. We know that as parents. We know that as educators. We know that as administrators. All that's going to happen. But, boy, to see that, to make him having to step down going into his 20th year is wrong, and I'm sorry, should not be happening.
Yeah, like he forgot how to conduct a team or how to conduct a program. Give me a break. As you said, this guy's a legend. He's been doing this forever.
And
I'm glad you're going to bounce him.
I'm glad you guys chimed in, too, because if I chime in, people are going to question my objectivity about the matter because, you know, Marv Mattson's a Kensington grad. In fact, you know, Tony, you always tease me that, you know, I'm as old as dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's 4 years older, so you do the arithmetic. But anyway, great guy. And like the one post on the Inside High School Sports alluded to, at least he's in some pretty good company because the same thing happened to Al Monaco at Will South, and the same thing happened to Sister Marie Perez at Sacred Heart. So that's a pedestal as far as I'm concerned.
Well, there's
sorry
a blueprint.
End that way.
A blueprint has been laid down. This is how you. This is how disgruntled parents get rid of a coach.
I don't like the playing time. But isn't
I don't
it
like
a minority?
The way he wears his hat.
Didn't most of the players and their family go to Marv's aid?
Yes.
But yet it's a few parents who obviously have clout with people on the school board and all that can influence them. And whatever happened to the majority rules?
Yeah, it's a very small minority, too.
Yes. And the next question is, what happens when these youngsters who are involved get turned down for a job? Are there a parents going to go to the CEO of the company that didn't hire them and demand that the personnel manager be replaced?
Yeah, but look at the other ramification. Now you talk about somebody comes in and now you're a coach anywhere, any sport, in high school, and you have on the back of your mind, I'm seeing, you know, Hall of Fame type coaches getting bounced. I have to change my way of practicing. I no longer have teeth. I can no longer discipline a kid that mouths off in practice or does something that's detrimental to the team. I can't do anything in fear of getting bounced because I may upset a parent. So that's where you're at right now.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're
saying. How do you coach?
Well, in other words, is you're changing and everything you coach has got to coach on the positive end because if you go negative at all, you're going to hear about it at one point.
Don't worry, Johnny. I don't mind that you got in a fist fight with your teammate and beat him up. We're just going to ignore it because I don't want to get chastised by administration or a parent group.
And playing time's another issue. These coaches now, you're seeing, you know what I think you're going to start seeing is smaller and smaller teams. In other words, that not keeping 15, 16, 17 kids on rosters.
Keep the minimum.
That's what you're going to start seeing. Because then you don't worry about playing time. Everybody's going to be able to play or at least have a role in this team at one point.
Which means in some cases a better player who might not happen to be a pitcher will be cut for the team because they got the pitch count rule to add to the fact. You know, it's kind of hard to go to a minimum players unless they're all have pitching capabilities because of the pitch count rule.
I'm also going to look at it this way. If I'm a coach and I know and I'm very familiar with the youth program that's in my district and I know a kid's coming up but his parent is a pain in the butt, guess who's not making my team?
Yeah, but then
do you need to go through that? I'd rather take the loss.
Hold on. You can do that, yes, in youth sports. You can't necessarily because that's when the complaint's going to come in. That's when they're going to go to the athletic director. Because they're going to say, is my kid
Bingo.
Is better than all these other kids. I can prove it. I will show it to you. And then that's where the problem now starts to lie.
Wow.
Bingo, bingo, bingo.
Why would you want to coach at this point?
That's what you're starting to hear. Well, why coach? Why be a ref? There isn't a game I go to that the poor umpire or ref, whoever it is, isn't getting screamed at by somebody.
By the 24 umpires behind the backstop or in the bleachers or, in the grandstands.
Yeah, they're with the other two dozen coaches that are in the grandstands right. and the bleachers.
And the sad part is that umpire can be 60 years old. That umpire can be 13 years old, and they're still getting yelled at. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're right. And this goes back to...
We see some of the better umpires and some of the better basketball officials, and you go to a game and listen to his parents, well, this guy's so old, this guy, you know, can't get up and down the field and all that. Well, you know why he's out there? Because the people that are young enough to replace them don't want any part of that nonsense.
Well, we see all the time you hear from official groups, hey, Tony, can you announce that we're looking for officials? It's crazy. And same with coaching. It's getting more and more difficult to keep coaching, whether it's at the youth level or getting people that want to coach at the high school level. When we've mentioned this on the program before, that the sports culture, in my opinion, is out of hand in this country. Look what happened to Sal Constantino in Niagara Falls.
Has anybody heard follow-up on that young umpire that got literally beaten up? Was it out in California or something?
Colorado.
About a week? Colorado?
Yeah, he actually, from what I understand, that the family got invited to a Major League Baseball game by another umpire that took him under his wing for that.
But have the perpetrators of that thing had been held accountable?
That's
the problem. They never get held accountable. Well, it goes on and on.
That's a different scenario. Now you've got police involved, and that's where the accountability is probably going to come in. There are more people now that are going to new rules to come into play. And in fact, it's something I have instituted at one point in my Southtowns League when it got really bad in the last couple of years. You're going to start seeing more and more of this. And I've heard two variations of it. One is if a parent gets thrown out of a game, right, the head coach goes with the parent automatically. So it's asking the head coach to control your sidelines. Next.
So even if the parent is on the case of the coach?
No. If they're screaming at the umpire, got thrown out for that type of reason, right? Second, this is a new one that I'm now hearing that is going to come into play. Parent gets thrown out. Your kid gets thrown out with you.
Wow. That'll calm you down.
You know what? It comes after that. Then, depending on the individual, well, parents going to go get a lawyer, and then they're going to drag it on.
Oh, look, I mentioned this a month ago.
You're not
going to
do it in the middle of the game, though. You can't get a lawyer in the middle of the game.
I realize that, but the damages that will go on, good luck with that is all I'll say.
I brought this up on the show several weeks ago about what they were exploring in Louisiana. You could be arrested. For harassing an umpire or a coach.
Good.
They said, and I spoke with somebody who lived in Louisiana, spent several years down there, and said, there are officials that have died, that have been killed. I mean, again, the sports culture is out of hand in this country. I don't know if it's too much emphasis on it or too passionate about it. I don't have the answers, but I think it's insane what's going on right now, whether it's youth sports or high school sports. It's not right, and I don't see it getting better. Do any of you guys see it improving?
Not unless we come up with ways to start controlling things a little bit better.
And making people who do wrong things accountable.
Yeah, it's rough. It even has me second thinking of whether I want to coach anymore or not. But anyway, let's take a break. When we come back, Raj, I'd like to talk to you. I know you posted on our Facebook page your all-inside high school sports softball team. Tom's still working on his all-WNY athletics baseball team. So we're going to have a little bit and Barrels Cup information coming up. So we'll have all that and more. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Tom Prince, Francis Beck from WNY Athletics, Roger Weiss in studio, Derek Kramer producing Sports Talk Saturday. Follows us at 11 right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Let's see, Barrows Cup news. Tom, this is something that pet project that you've taken under, and you've got an update for us, I believe.
So, absolutely. So, as you know, I took on two projects this year on top of what I was doing for baseball. One was to get the All-Star game back up and running, and that was unbelievably successful, where we've got 75 players from 50 schools in one game. Couldn't be more excited about it.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, you can hear it. The second piece is the Colpoys Barrows Cup, which is to name the Western New York High School Baseball Player of the Year, which is very similar to what the Conley Cup would do for football. And we have named our 16 finalists for the Player of the Year possibility. And they are as follows. Sean Hayes from Bishop Tyman. Sean, fabulous year, pitcher. Looks like I think he's going to be going to Mercyhurst. But again, carried that Bishop Tyman team, not only on the mound, but also did it with his bat at times. Next, Jack Putney from Clarence. I think that name speaks for himself.
Yeah.
Unbelievable year he had at the bat. He'll be attending St. Bonaventure this coming year. And again, a fabulous season. Next, Joe Pagano with DePue. Early on was the top pitcher for Dennis Crowley over at DePue. Also played shortstop, big bat. Absolutely was one of the top players that came out of DePue to make the list. The next one, which everybody has heard us talk about on the show, Brian Norson from Frontier. What a season this kid has had. Ties the school record in singles, gets the school record in doubles, ties it in home runs. Big two home runs against Jamestown to advance in the playoffs. Another home run against Clarence to win the sectional championship. Great season by Brian Norson. Next on the list, Jack Migliori from Hamburg, who actually tied the season record for home runs from Hamburg this year. He is off to Canisius. And by the way, Brian Norson is off to St. John Fisher's, where he's going to be going to school. We have Nick Parch from Iroquois. You heard me talk about him. He has actually had some huge pitching wins on the mound against DePue, in fact. He actually comes from multiple different angles as a pitcher. He'll come from over the top and then also come down to a submarine style. He was just
at, I still can't understand. I can't get that. That one blows my mind away.
But listen to this. So he was just at Ohio University. Doing a workout for the school. They actually clocked him at 86 miles an hour up over the top, and then when he dropped down submarine, he was still hitting 82 miles an hour, which is damn good.
And the thing about that, Anthony, you know, a guy comes overhand, you know, okay, you got him zeroed in when he comes in overhand. Now you're digging in, and you say, okay, bring it on. And then, especially if it's a right-hand pitcher against a right-handed batter, and all of a sudden he comes sidearm or something like that, and you're lucky you can keep your front foot in the batter's box because you, as we say in the trade, step in the bucket and all that, and they have you so off balance that even if you make contact, you're not going to hit the ball with authority.
Yep. So next on the list, you heard it. I said it, his name multiple times. Bryce Jackson with Jamestown.
Sure.
Unbelievable pitching that he had this year. You heard about what he did against Frontier in a 1-0 game. You heard what he did against Lockport to help advance Jamestown. Unbelievable pitcher. He'll be off to Canisius also. But again, another pitcher you're hearing on the list. Next, your Buffalo News Player of the Year this year. And a fantastic season out of the NFL. Dom Schmidt for Ken West, who has absolutely had a fantastic season, both with his bat in the field and on the mound. The next one, again, another name that we've talked about multiple times. I told you to watch out for this kid, and he came on strong as the year went on, especially when he got his bearings from being injured in the previous year. Nate Lockwood out of Lakeshore. Then, again, another pitcher we're going to talk about. This one was from Medina. 10-win season for Medina for this pitcher alone. Trevor Luthart, unbelievable what he did on the mound this year. I'll still never forget the game between him and Charlie Brunning at Roy Hart. 1-0 that went down 9 innings. Big, tall lefty, I'm telling you. What this kid's going to do in the future is going to be unbelievable. I can't wait to see what he brings to the table. And the next one is your player from Roy Hart, Charlie Brunning, who is not only a top pitcher, a first baseman, a hitter, a pitcher, can do everything that you need to out on the field. Then we bring two players from St. Joe's. The first one, the catcher, Sam Murphy, who had an unbelievable season. He was named the MVP in the Monsignor Martin for offense, and you can absolutely see why. He had a huge home run, home runs for St. Joe's that actually helped get them to, again, another championship run, unfortunately falling a little bit short, but getting themselves to the championship. The other one from St. Joe's, Will Carlone, the commit to VCU that everybody knows. Will, left-handed bat, one of the top bats in the area. You can absolutely understand why he's on that list. The next one, from St. Mary's, your Monsignor Martin champions, the catcher, Chris Nino, again, came out of the gates huge this year, was huge with his bat, especially with the long ball, was one of the early players, four home runs this year, and absolutely was a big impact player for St. Mary's. The next one from West Seneca West, Chase Chadowski, unbelievable season. Hits just shy of 500 for the ECIC 1 division. Unbelievable what he accomplished this year. Played short, also a pitcher, had a fantastic year. And then the last one from Will North, representing them, Andrew Fairbrother. Again, early on, this was a player I thought that stood out the most at Will North. They have such a array of top players there, but Andrew Fairbrother just a little bit more there as the leader on that team. And there's your list of 16 right there.
That's an outstanding list right there, Tom. You mentioned Buffalo News. We forgot to congratulate our buddy Harry Skull Jr. Got married, right?
Yeah, that was last week.
I think that's kind of...
yes, I was at the ceremony. It was very nice.
Congratulations, Harry. We're happy for you. All right, Roger, you've put together your list. I mean, you follow softball like no one else I know, and this is fresh off of having the state champions in studio last week. And by the way, thank you to Williamsville East Softball for coming in last week. We had a blast with them in studio. Raj, what do you have? Who makes your list this year?
Okay, couple things before I go there involving Will East. Good segue, Anthony, going in. Monday the 15th, a week from Monday, the Williamsville East girls will be honored at the Bison game at, what's the latest name, Francis?
Salins Field.
Okay, Pilot Field, Coca-Cola Field, anyway. At the corner of Swan and Washington Street.
Just say Salins. Get it right. Do it. Give justice
Salins
to Joe Salins.
Oh, yeah. You and hot dogs. Give me a break. Anyway.
Well, this is a great guy. I mean, come on. Be respectful.
I know. And the other thing, how about a tip of a hat to Summer Clark? If you've been following what's been going on in the Buffalo News, they've had top 16 boys and girls and public is welcome to vote and all that. The final got down to Summer Clark and Hannah Mulhern from St. Mary's of Lancaster. If you remember that story, she's the one that had the brain tumor that had to be operated on and came back in a manner that is still mind-boggling to this day. When it got down to the final two between Summer and Hannah, Summer respectfully declined and asked that she be eliminated because after reading what Hannah went through, that Summer said she would have voted for Hannah.
Wow.
And something like that. And this is from this is not from a mature senior or something like that. This
a
is
sophomore.
From
sophomore.
She's only a sophomore.
A great kid.
And hats just off to Summer, kid. Both girls. I know I would have had a problem because I'm close to both of these girls. So... Summer, you are the best. And having said that, again, segue into what was my all-Western New York softball. And I have to give the criteria first how I select softball.
One, they have to play softball. That would be a good criteria.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Oh, you might want to add that one
anyway,
next year.
amongst other things, as an example, Summer Clark is committed to the University of Missouri, at least verbally.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with my All Western New York team.
So, despite where they're going, whether they're getting a scholarship or not, has no impact.
No, my criteria goes from what they do for their high school softball team
this
between
past season.
April right. Fool's Day and Flag Day. Does that matter how they if they hit a thousand bat a thousand in travel ball? Mock's next. Doesn't
or what
come
they
into
did
play.
Last year or what they could do the next year
yeah.
is what they did this past season.
If you're a senior or you're in seventh grade or you're in kindergarten, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Seniors do not say, well, it's a senior's turn. In fact, my viewpoint on that is if a senior and an underclassman are tied and I need a tiebreaker, my personal preference would be for the underclassman because there is more expected out of the senior than the underclassmen.
Okay,
that's
fair
just
enough.
Me. I don't know if it's right, but that's how I do it. I got one more that I left out. It'll come to me while I'm rattling off through this. But obviously, team success comes into play. I will, on my top 20, if you will notice, I will have at least one representative from section champions, and if possible, in most cases, runners up as well.
If you go just basically on team success, just give all of it to Williams at least.
Well, and
you know what? It'd be deserving.
The nine batter hit 400. So what?
Yeah. Glad you mentioned that because there's probably a couple more girls on that Willie's team that I left off that probably could have been added to the top 20 based on this year's performance.
It's like I was watching the NFL films. They do those top 10s, and it was like top 10 Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm thinking to myself, how the heck do you put together a top 10? You just give it to the 70 Super Bowl teams, and that would fill it out.
Yeah,
incidentally, I totally disagreed with what they came out with. It was crazy, but...
Well, yeah, but that Iron Curtain defense, how do you leave any one of them guys off? They were all impact players, from Blunt to the Greenwood, obviously Mean Joe, and Jack...
get this. They left Stallworth off of it.
Well, yeah.
They had a pick between Swan and Stallworth. Anyway, go ahead. Go back to your...
Anyway, first team, from my opinion. Rachel Steffen, infielder, third baseman for Will East. Christy Mack, shortstop, Will East. My player of the year was Summer Clark, for obvious reasons. Not only what she did in the circle, but she's one of the 400 hitters. She hits fifth in the lineup. Ella Wesolowski, she's a catcher. Eighth grader. She bats fourth on that team.
Wow.
I mean, just the four girls I mentioned are third, fourth, fifth, and sixth in the batting lineup. If Christy Mack is batting sixth, believe me when I tell you, that is an outrageous hitting team. Now, and I have talked in the past, I talked about the 2015 Orchard Park Lady Quakers, 2012 Clarence Lady, what are they, Red Devils?
Mm-hmm.
State champions, I said, I thought I wouldn't see hitting teams better than them. I might rate the Willies team slightly under them with hitting, but when you combine hitting, pitching, and defense, this is the best team I've seen in my, going on 13 years following
girls
softball.
That's saying a lot.
A couple girls from the state semifinalists, Eden Raiders, Marissa Calloway, and Caitlin Schmitz. Caitlin, this year with the bat, she had a little arm trouble at the end, so it was only their third pitcher. But like I say, they could put three in a circle normally. And, of course, Marissa Calloway, she can hurt you with the bat as well as in the circle. Two girls from the Monsignor Martin Championship Catholic team, Maggie Kellner, their catcher, Tori Jenkins, their pitcher slash first baseman. Rounding out, I have two girls from Orchard Park, Megan Geis, pitcher, infielder, and Sydney Bilecki, the shortstop. Second team after the break?
After the break, yes. All right, let's take a break on that cue. Good timing there, Roger. Don't forget, Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11. We'll be back with more Inside High School Sports. Welcome back. One last segment of Inside High School Sports. Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11. Tom, before we continue with Roger on his selections for his all-softball team, a good friend of ours, somebody who's always in our thoughts, update on Dick Gallagher.
Yeah, listen, everybody knows how close I am with Dick. I absolutely love that man. He's got some procedures coming up this week, and I just want to say is, Dick, just know our thoughts, prayers, everything are with you. I cannot thank you enough for everything that you do. You are just an amazing man, and just know that we're all by your side.
Yeah, absolutely. In our prayers, Dick, as always. All right, Roger, continue with the second team.
Okay, I left one girl off the first team I want to mention now because I actually had 11. I had a player of the year and 10 additional players. You say, why 10? Well, in most of these games, now in the starting lineup are 9 girls, but you have 10
but
girls
because
of a flex.
Right.
Well, no, you bat 9. One girl, the designated player bats, the flex player only plays the field.
Oh, okay.
So having said that, the girl I admitted before the break, Jessica DePasquale, pitcher from Narden, completes the first team. Second team, and bearing in mind now, you'll have some of these names will be questionable only because of the players that are being left off. Again, they probably represent a team that either won the section or possibly a section runner-up, and to me, that deserves some merit on the second 10.
Right.
Having said that, it would be Ellie Swanson from Maple Grove. They actually won the C championship by beating both Maple Grove and Chautauqua Lake. That's quite an accomplishment. So Elsie Swanson represents Maple Grove. Chautauqua Lake, Olivia Anderson, you know, repeat from last year. She led Chautauqua Lake a year ago, although they didn't make it to the they didn't even win a section this year. There's no questioning how her play was this year. She's a member of the second team. Likewise, from Portville, Carly Welty, one of the top female athletes in Western New York. And numbers on softball this year off the charts. Beth Eberhardt, this is the one where I'm going to be probably called to task. I'm going to be accused of being a homer. But she played for Hamburg High School. They played Will East twice this year. Only lost 6-0 and 1-0. The 1-0 was a 9-inning game. It took Will East 9 innings to score 1 run off Beth Eberhardt.
Wow.
Maybe I'm basing it only on 2 games, but she pitched well during the year. And that in and of itself, I just find a reason not to put her on the top 20. Again, there are probably players that had better whole years around here, but that to me is an accomplishment.
Sure.
You know, you're absolutely right, and there are sometimes that happens, but we look at the barometer is how do we do against the best competition? Where do you actually make your name and you stand out? Are you doing it against a smaller school at a small level, or are you doing it on the biggest stage there is out there? And when you do it on the biggest stage out there, sometimes that's what's going to get you the recognition more
right.
than anything.
And Will East was the biggest stage out there this year, no question. A few of the others from Sacred Heart, Martha Balthasar, pitcher from Olean, runner-up in Class B, Justin Brook. From Iroquois, runner-up in Class A, Kennedy Haberl. A third player from the state semifinalist, Eden Lady Raiders, Maggie Woodard. Runner-up in Class AA, Will North, Abby Vinson. And from Panama, Class D section champions, Ashley Harmon.
Wow. It's a great list, Raj.
I hope so. And like I say, there's a few few honorable mentions. If I named one, I should probably name a half a dozen, but I won't. But again.
And you can go to our Facebook page, Inside High School Sports Facebook page. The list is up there if you want to leave a comment.
I welcome criticisms, by the way. Okay. I welcome criticisms.
Tom, something interesting, you know, before the show, you were showing me pictures of, because you run the South Towns and were they from a recent tournament?
So, no, we had our South Towns playoffs get
okay,
come
down. Okay, those
were
South Town playoffs. Yep. And the reason I'm bringing this up is one team stood out, one organization stood out. And where are they from, Olean?
Yep. Twin Tiers Pride is the name of the organization, and they are out of the Olean area. And they actually won our 9UB division, 10U division, 11U division, and 12U division all walked away as champions.
If you're coaching varsity baseball at Olean, you have to be salivating right now with the type of kids that are coming up. I mean, don't
yes.
Wouldn't that boat, as far as forecasting what they're going to be?
Tough to say, because the Twin Tiers is an organization that's probably feeding off Olean, Allegheny, Limestone.
Oh.
You know, a couple of the schools down there. But it does bode well for the Olean area in general down there, because it is a very strong organization. There's other programs down there, too, that you're seeing the Southern Tier regulators. You're hearing the Allegheny teams down there. There's a couple of quality organizations to show that baseball is real big in the Southern Tier.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was absolutely amazed when you showed that to me. And it clicked in my head, because I'm always thinking feeder programs. Who's able to benefit off of their youth programs? And you look at the teams that are traditionally good year in year out, like at Orchard Park, and you know that they're coming up from there. So I was just trying to gauge, you know, where we're looking. If we're trying to forecast teams that look out in the future based on their feeder programs. That's where I was going with that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of younger programs right now that are really starting to get stronger and stronger, and it's because of these travel leagues that are out there. I mean, you not only have the Southtowns Travel League, you have the Clarence Travel League, you have the Boys of Summer Travel League, you have the Premier Travel League right now. There are multiple travel leagues that are out there that are giving teams an opportunity to get out and showcase their talents and get better and better and better.
Yeah, and that they're doing. Do many high school coaches go out and scout these games?
No.
Or do they just leave the summer alone? That's okay. We've done our thing.
It depends on the coach. We talked about, look at a great person we talked about here earlier, Marv, right?
Mm-hmm.
Marv, we used to put a team every year into the PAL League so he can actually monitor and see what was going on and what was coming up in the future, right? Some coaches like to coach their own kid in the off season, so they're just very specific about the programs. Some run very big programs. John Sherman out of Medina is running one of the top travel programs in the area right now with the Niagara Nationals. It depends on the scenario. Paul Naska, another one who does it, right?
Justin
Santacito is another one that's out there that does it, right? I could get Marty Szymanski for St. Franny's is another one that's heavily involved. It depends on the scenario. Tim Smith and Gowanda, another one, who runs right now the Griffs Baseball, which is one of the top 14 new programs in the area. You could go up and down the list. It happens that are out there, but it just depends on the scenario.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, looking outside, guys, it looks like the rain is taking a break. It's not pouring too bad. So whether it hits or misses later on in the afternoon, if you have a game scheduled, you know, I don't know if you've been called yet. You know, I'm the type of guy that's always keeping his fingers crossed. Well, maybe there's a chance we can get it in.
Listen, I'll tell you one thing right now. Grounds crews, parents that are out there on the fields, whoever it is, do not get enough credit for making games happen during days like this. If you get a chance to play, make sure you thank somebody that was out there on the field.
Oh, by the way, I did offer my my services to Wally Dean at Cayuga Baseball. I said, Wally, does the city cut this? He goes, no, we do. I go, and they get to ride the tractor and cut? And he goes, yeah. I go, ooh, I want to do that. So I've offered. I want to drive the tractor. I would. I really would. I wouldn't mind doing that. I love cutting the grass, especially if you're sitting down and cruising on a tractor. Oh, yeah, count me in. Hey, Derek Kramer, thank you for producing. Thank you, guys. Roger, thanks for your list. Once again, you can check his list out on our Inside High School Sports.
Feel free to criticize, please.
And next week, Tom, you're on deck, buddy. So start taking your cuts. Get your warm-up ready. Because next week, I know you're going to have an awful lot to talk about. So we'll have that next week. Francis, thank you. And we'll catch you guys next week with more Inside High School Sports, WGR Sports Radio 550.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.